one with your great spirit.
Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us in person and online for worship this morning. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns.
Thank you.
right. We'd love to invite any of the children, or the youth, to come on up, join us on the steps before we head off to our children's church time. It's good to see so many of you on a holiday weekend.
Yay.
Wonderful. Yes, it's fantastic.
Come on up.
Come on up, guys.
Today's going to be a fun day. We are playing games. How long has it been since all of us have engaged in play? So I'm going to ask you all a question, and I'm gonna have a little side note to the question. What do you like to play that is not electronic or video based?
What I played last Sunday, Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza.
Yes, youth group, we play Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. If you don't have it, you're missing out.
Yes.
Just saying.
Probably cards.
Cards.
Love it. Yes. Emily, what do you like to play?
Anna.
What do you like to play?
Anna.
She likes to play Anna.
Anybody else?
What do you
here?
Like to play, Isaac?
Candyland.
Candyland. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yes. Anybody else have something they like to play? What do you like to play?
Not sure.
Exploding Kittens.
Oh.
Exploding Kittens? That's a great game. I love that game.
Same. Exploded Kittens.
Exploded Kittens.
Yeah, two for
something you all like to play?
We like to play cards.
Cards. Yes,
Tallulah. As a former Midwesterner, Euchre was very big.
Euchre, yes.
So definitely that was my card game. I see some applause in the back.
Okay, good. I thought we had hands up. I'm like, okay, we're going into the audience. So, yes, it is amazing. One of the things that I love about working with young people is that they keep us young because they teach us and remind us how fun it is, how good it is for our spirit and our soul and just our overall human development to play and have fun.
To play, yes. And God gave us this beautiful earth, right? The gorgeous sunsets that we now get to see coming on the West Coast. It's a game changer, right, out here. Beautiful waterfalls. If we think about our favorite animals and the way that they move or the colors of the peacock feathers, you know, there aren't explicit statements in the Bible that say, you know, you need play, yet there's so many beautiful things that God created for us that encourage us to play. And I think there's a lot of things as we as adults could use a little bit more play. Anybody with me?
Yeah,
a little bit right. More play. I know there's a lot of research out there on it. Besides all of that, I think all of us know right now we could learn a little bit from all of us here about taking some time to play. So we want to engage in a little play with all of you right now, right?
So, yeah, we get to go play today, but you all should have the chance to play. So we're going to have us play a little activity, something that we've all probably done at some point in our life. I'm going to say it, and some of you are going to be like, I love this, and others of you are going to be like, oh, I cannot believe he's making us do this. But we're going to do it. It's for the children, okay? So we are going to do a wave. We're going to do a wave in the congregation.
All right.
And so we're going to start from this side, and it's going to go up this aisle to the balcony, and then in the back, forward, all the way to the choir, and everyone needs to participate for the children.
I need to get ready to stand up first.
All right. Okay, and I'll help y'all get ready. Okay, I can see you're ready. Thank you for being ready. You got the hand on.
They're ready.
Okay. Are you ready, set, go. Up, 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 up the way. There it goes to the balcony.
Balcony.
And then in the back. Yes. All the way forward. Forward. Come on. There you go. And there you go. Hey. Give yourselves a round of applause. Wow. Miss April and I were a little skeptical. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. Well, let's pray. That way they can get back to the serious stuff and we can start playing. Okay. Lord, Creator, God, thank you for play. Thank you for joy. Thank you for fun. It is a part of the human experience. It is part of your creation. And it balances out the hard and the difficult and the sad in this world. So may we all find times this summer to just play, to put our feet in the sand, to feel the warmth of the sun on our faces, to feel the cool breeze in the shade. Thank you for these children and what they teach us and how they lead us and remind us to play and to love the life that you've created. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we head out to Children's Church, I invite you all to stand. We'll be outside. Parents, we'll be in the courtyard today. And you can pick up your children and youth there. Please stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
The peace of the Lord be with you. I invite you now on this beautiful, glorious Sunday morning with its moments of levity and a little bit of seriousness to take a deep breath and settle yourself and prepare yourself for that really special moment where we intentionally engage in our relationship with God in prayer. I invite you to receive the invitation to prayer from our wonderful chancel choir. Let us pray. Gracious Creator, thank you for this morning, for this glorious sunrise. Each of us woke up in different circumstances, but each of us found our way here to you, to gather together in your name. As we come to you, each walking in different seasons of our lives, we pray for your guidance. Pour your Holy Spirit over us. We confess, dear God, that we are not always certain which direction we are supposed to be going. So much of our life seems to be a game of hurry up and wait. Work hard and wait. Pray long and wait. God, we are eager to see the fruit of our efforts come to bear. And we confess that sometimes we are tempted to give up when the journey is difficult and the path is not clear. Give us patience, Holy Parent. Help us to know when is the right time to pursue the hungers that you have put in our heart. Help us to find direction and move when you call us to move. Bless our creative endeavors, our relationships, and our works of healing and community building. Fill us with purpose and help us find time to play. Be with us in our joy and discovery and in our moments of uncertainty and fear. Show us your way in all things so that we may be ready to answer your call when your purpose and our own deep hungers meet. Make us vessels to bring forth your creative and transforming love. God, the world needs that love now. We are a nation in turmoil. We come to you with heavy hearts this morning for the disarray that we see, and we pray that you will illuminate a path for us. We offer up our mourning and our sadness for the 53 migrants, men, women, and children who perished in San Antonio this week. We pray that you will ease the pain and suffering of their families. We also pray, dear God, that you will use your Holy Spirit to afflict the hearts of decision makers so that they may be called to make decisive action to reform immigration policies in a way that respects life and humanity and families. We pray this morning also for all who are mourning, who have lost loved ones, all those who are ill and in need of healing. We pray for Richard and for Kevin as they recover from surgery and all those afflicted by COVID. May your Holy Spirit heal them. We also offer ourselves up to you who are in need of your redeeming love. May it fill us always in the moments of doubt and in the moments of plenty. We offer to you our silent prayers now. For all that you do, and all that you are, Holy One, and everything that you have brought into our lives, we offer our thanks. Help us to walk upright, proud, to let the world know that we are servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we seek a world made in his love, where all are welcome and none are turned away. In your name we pray. Amen. Good morning again. Welcome back to Hollywood United Methodist Church on this first Sunday of our Cross Flicks sermon series, where we explore spirituality and faith in contemporary film. And we're super excited that Reverend Kathy is going to launch this series with us today with an incredible film, and we're really glad you're here for it. I have a few announcements for you. Next week, we are going to be discussing Encanto. Has anyone seen Encanto? Lovely Disney film, and we are so blessed because after church, we're going to be having a talk back with Amy Astley of Walt Disney Animation in Grant Hall. So come explore with the sermon. Oh, she's right there in the back. And then afterwards, we get to have a wonderful conversation about what it's like to make these films that have such huge impact on people's lives. You will have seen out front that there is a QR code to participate in a survey about worship. We're really excited. More than 98 people have participated in this survey here and at Harmony Toluca Lake, online and in person. If you haven't had a chance to do so, we ask you to do so. We're gonna be wrapping up that visioning series very soon. There's also a paper copy of the survey, and if you are in need of it, the ushers can provide it to you. Can we see a show of hands if anybody would like a copy of the paper survey to fill out? Okay, looks like we're pretty covered. So if you want it though on your way out, you can absolutely pick it up and bring it back next week or drop it in the office. The conversation about the results of that survey is going to happen in Grant Hall after worship on July 17th. So all are invited to be a part of thinking about together what is next for our congregation. On August 7th, we're going to be having our all-church picnic. I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful, balmy, breezy day, so be sure to put it on your calendar. Wear your hat, bring your personal fan. It's going to be wonderful. We need volunteers to help prep on the Saturday before and on Sunday. We've had some wonderful beginning of return meals together here at church, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and other events. And now we're going to have our all-church picnic. We hope that you will come. And if you feel like you have a couple of hands that are ready to serve, we could sure use them. So let us know, and we'd love to plug you in. All that we do here, the ministries of this church, everything is led by our faith in Jesus Christ, our belief that his love is for all people, and that the church should be a place where all are welcome. And it's made possible by your generous offerings so that we can continue to be a light in the heart of Hollywood and in this world for this encompassing love of Christ. So we invite you now to give as generously as you are able to help the missions and ministries of this church continue to flourish in our world. Amen.
Hundred. sometimes that he cried, in bridges he burned, or the way that she died. It's time now to sing out, though the story never ends. Let's celebrate, remember a year in the life of friends. Remember the love. Remember the love. Remember the love. Measure your love.
A reading from Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. Words of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
This morning we do indeed commence our annual summer sermon series, Crossflix. During July and August, we'll be looking at films from a variety of genres and discovering where faith intersects with film. As I say every year, this is my favorite sermon series of the year because it gives us the opportunity of introducing the concept of finding faith and spirituality in secular society to our friends and family who may not be particularly religious, but they are open to those values of faith that are important to those of us in this congregation and our congregation online. Now, next week, as Bridie said, I'll be preaching on Encanto, which won the Oscar for Best Animated Picture earlier this year, and we'll be having a talk back with Amy Astley, who is the Senior Vice President for Publicity and Communications for Walt Disney Animation. So plan to be present with us. That'll only be in person. It will not be online. Our film for this morning to begin this series is Tick, Tick, Boom, the film version of the autobiographical musical of Jonathan Larson, creator of the Tony Award-winning musical Rent. How many of you have seen Tick, Tick, Boom? It is a great film that captures the reality and the evasiveness of time. But before we do that deep dive, there's an anniversary of Time, which two of our longtime members celebrated last weekend. Here's Rick and Linda Loya celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And that's us in their backyard as I help them renew their vows. And I told them, and I told those who had gathered in the backyard there with us all, that as a high school student, for Rick was my high school health teacher, I would see them walking across campus holding hands. And I remember my friends and I thinking how meaningful their modeling of a loving relationship was to all of us. Now that experience seems like both yesterday and it seems like a lifetime ago. That's how time impacts us. Jonathan Larson was prescient in knowing that his time on earth would be more limited than most. He struggled with following his dreams of musical theater while maintaining his close relationships. Let's watch the trailer.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. I'm Jonathan Larson. I am 29 years old.
I work at the Moondance Diner.
Check. One sec. Do we take reservations? No, we do not take. We're a diner.
I have an original rock musical.
Hey, boy genius.
That I have spent the last 8 years of my life writing.
He's getting out. You're gonna be rich and famous.
And rewriting.
Did you crack it yet?
Oh, I'm getting so close.
And rewriting.
Can I hear it?
Any day now.
8 years!
And the time keeps ticking. Tick, tick.
You need to ask, are you letting yourself be led by fear or by love?
Fear! 100% fear!
I don't know what the show is.
Why do we play with fire?
Workshop happens and nothing changes. What then, Jonathan?
Maybe I'm just wasting my time.
Do you know how many Jonathan Larsons there are? One.
Why should we blaze a trail?
There's not enough time. I went to 3 friends' funerals last year, and nobody is doing enough. I'm not doing enough.
Try writing about what you know.
What does it take? To wake up a generation.
It would be a tragedy to give up what you have.
Take off and fly.
Fear or love, baby, don't say the answer.
Actions speak louder than
No matter what.
They speak louder.
Keep going.
The good folks at Fuller Studio over at Fuller Seminary wrote that what we do with the time we are given is one of Tick, Tick, Boom creator Jonathan Larson's chief concerns. He's concerned about turning 30 without having accomplished anything of note. Later, he's confronted with mortality as he loses one friend after another to AIDS. And as we watch Larson wrestle with how to spend his life, we know that he will die a half decade later, just before the premiere of his greatest success, Rent. Larson spent years writing his first musical, feeling the pressure to write and produce, even as he worked at a diner to sustain his living situation, all the while questioning his dreams. His girlfriend wanted him to move upstate with her and find a more sustainable life. His best friend, an actor turned advertising executive, wanted to give him a job writing jingles like he did, so that he could achieve a measure of material success and move out of his fourth floor walk-up. And Larson considers selling out. At his low point, he shamelessly proclaims to his financially successful friend, "I want to have what you have. I want the BMW. I want the doorman. I want all of it." But before he gives up his dream, he checks his answering machine. Those are things before we had cell phones, I'm just letting you know. He checks his answering machine to see if he's received any responses to his workshop, and he finds a voicemail from Stephen Sondheim, who concludes his very thoughtful message with an encouraging prophecy. "It's first-rate work and has a future, and so do you." Larson tragically died from a heart condition while Rent was in previews, so he never experienced its critical success, but his tenacity in pursuing his dream in spite of all odds has given us a gift of a powerful musical that will live on. Our choir so beautifully sang Seasons of Love this morning from Rent. Our scripture talks about the seasons of life, 28 of them arranged in contrast to each other, yet all part of the human condition. It begins with the most fundamental truth that we are born and one day our life in this world will come to an end. The great Old Testament scholar Elizabeth Achtmeyer once wrote, "As our text from Ecclesiastes 3 shows, one of the orders that God has set into God's creation is the order of time. Not only the cycle of the seasons and days and months and years, but also the order of time into which our lives fit. For knowing that there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, knowing what time it is differentiates the foolish from the wise." Now, Dr. King knew what time it was. It was time for civil rights and equality when he spoke of the fierce urgency of now at the March on Washington in 1963, an inflection point in our nation's history. Some 30 years later, Jonathan Larson knew what time it was, another inflection point, this time the AIDS pandemic. 30 years later, still, our nation on this Independence Day weekend is yet at another inflection point on fundamental human rights and the future of our democracy. We need to hear the clock. We need to hear tick, tick, boom. We need to know what time it is. It's time, family. It's time to understand that in the past we might have had our issues, like voting rights or marriage equality or climate change, and we would let someone else be the advocates for, let's say, affordable housing or gun safety legislation, because we can't be sufficient advocates for everything because there just isn't enough time. But life has changed over the past few weeks. The decisions of the Supreme Court have made it abundantly clear that we, as progressive people of faith, must see their interconnectedness. And we must be willing to speak out and act on issues of peace and justice that will move us forward as a society, not backwards. I'll give you an example. I have never been an outspoken supporter of reproductive rights. I've always believed in them, cautiously examined the ramifications faced by women in states where legislatures sought to restrict them, gave thanks that I live in California, but I never really preached or worried much about them because for me, as an adult, Roe v. Wade has always been the law of the land, until it wasn't. Now, in California here, it is. And there may be ways that we will be asked in the future to provide acts of mercy for women from other states who are seeking reproductive care. But it's clear that our elected officials in Washington, D.C. need to codify Roe and quickly. And I'm going to tell you a story. Why? About 10 years ago, a young couple, church members, came to see me and our associate pastor, Pastor Dave, in our offices. It was the first time that we had sat down and really talked. I knew the woman was in her second trimester. The tests and scans that she had recently taken showed that the fetus was not developing properly. It would never develop properly. And if carried to term, the baby would be in severe pain and likely live only a few hours. What pastoral advice could we offer? Through our tears, and all four of us were weeping at that time because we knew the pain this couple was in and that they would continue to experience no matter their decision. I recalled the phrasing in a book of discipline from one general conference, I don't know which one, but for some reason that phrase had stuck with me. It said, when life conflicts with life, the decision to end a pregnancy is between a woman, her doctor, and her God, and God will bless her decision. When life conflicts with life. That was the absolute definition of this couple's experience in this season of their lives. We talked more, and they did ultimately decide the most loving thing to do was to end the pregnancy. But even here in California 10 years ago, it wasn't easy. To stay in their health system, their doctor had to present to a medical board and get approval. And even then, in their health system, there was one doctor, one in the entire state of California, who would perform the procedure. They had the option of going to a clinic, of course, but the idea of facing protesters on top of the unbelievable pain they were in, it was too much to bear. So I've been thinking about this couple since the decision was announced. I contacted the mom to see how they were doing and if it was okay to share their story, which it was, including the fact that they have two adorable, healthy elementary school children now, and as a family, they are thriving. She's been writing a lot about their story in the event that one day it might be a help to someone else in the same circumstances. Right after the Texas abortion ban was implemented, before the Roe decision, she wrote a poem about what that law would have meant for her in her time of crisis. I've asked Ruth to read it for us.
They have told the women of Texas that they have no choice. That the wounded, broken, and dying babies inside their wombs cannot be mercifully placed at rest. Carry the child come hell or high water. Their will be done. I picture an alternate version of myself standing in the Texas heat, hand on my stomach, knowing it is growing, but knowing that the baby inside will never make it home. I imagine standing in the grocery store, belly protruding, and being stopped by yet another well-meaning Southern woman, made up, frosted hair, pearls. When are you due? Is this your first? Would I tell her that he is dying? Brain never formed, struggling heart, missing kidneys? Would I say that if, in the smallest fraction of a miracle, that he did survive the trauma of labor, that we would be watching him writhe in pain, praying for him to mercifully die? Well, probably I would just name a date, say yes, he is our first, swallow the heartache, grit my teeth, know that the end is near while I hold on to every moment we have together, place the food in my cart, put my head down, keep walking, pay for my groceries, and hide at home, waiting for the end to come. Instead, in California, I sat on the bench in the glowing October sun. The next day, my baby and I would walk into the hospital, but only I would walk out. We would lay down together with a team of doctors beside us, no protesters outside. The drugs that they place in my arm, that they had me breathe, will numb everything for us both. All that my son will know, all that he ever knew, was the home that I gave him, the sound of my heart. I hope that the sun lit up his world that day on the beach, that the ice cream I ate gave him a taste of what is beautiful and good in this life, even as it mixed with my own bitter tears, light and peace and mercy. Later, pregnant again with his brothers, when well-meaning Angelinos ask me, "When are you due? Is this your first?" I am equally conflicted. Do I deny him like he never even mattered? Do I spare the person in front of me the pain of our story? That is what I did, though I am not ashamed. I named a date, said, "Yes, he is our first." Swallowed the heartache, gritted my teeth, put my head up, kept walking, prayed that this time it was just the beginning of a lifetime together.
There are women across this country who are finding that life conflicts with life every day. For them, family, and for all of God's children, this is the season that we must put love into action. This is the season to feel the urgency that Jonathan Larson felt, to create a new thing, a just thing, a beautiful thing, to give hope to the women who are suffering today. And because we know what is coming next, just as we need to codify Roe at the federal level, we need to codify Obergefell, we need to codify voting rights, and we need to elect people at all levels who will put the common good before their own, who will pledge to live out the greatest commandments of Jesus, to love God and to love your neighbor. Tick, tick, boom. As we come now to gather around the table, let us give thanks for the ability to tell what time it is, past, present, and future. Let us affirm the fierce urgency of now, even as we celebrate the joy we have found along the way. And let us embrace the season that we are in, one that calls us to love in action. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year, measure your life in seasons of love? Amen.
Since this is the weekend that we celebrate liberty and freedom, we give thanks to God that God set his people free from their slavery in Egypt and took them on a journey to the promised land. We give thanks to God that God sent prophets who would look to the day when there would be justice that would flow like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And we give thanks to God that God sent his son Jesus to preach good news, to proclaim release to the captives and the acceptable year of the Lord. And we give thanks to God that Jesus, when he was with his friends, would take bread, would give thanks to God and would break the bread, and he would give it to his friends, and he would say to them, as often as you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. And after dinner, Jesus would take the cup, and he would lift the cup and give thanks to God, and then he would give the cup to his friends, and he would say to them, this is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of his mighty acts, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And we pray, O God, pour out your Holy Spirit on those of us who are gathered here and on these your gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ for the world and offer our lives in love and healing in your broken world. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. And so now, brothers and sisters, with the confidence as the children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We still have the little individual cups, so the ushers are in the back, and those of you who don't have one with you, raise your hand, and the ushers will give you one and will bring you a cup so that you all have one, so that we can truly receive the gifts of God for the children of God. Make sure everyone has one. There's still some more over here. And some more down front, still some more down front. Now, if you begin to take the top layer off, then you can lift the wafer. This is the gift of life, Jesus says. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. The other part, and you can have the cup. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart with faith by thanksgiving. Thank you, O God, for this mystery of faith, that you come and you are present with us this day and every day in our lives. Truly may we serve you and honor you all the days of our lives. Amen. Thank you.
please join us for fellowship in the courtyard outside. There's coffee and some homemade baked goods. That would be wonderful to see you. The memorial service for Weldon Corbin will be next Saturday, July 9th at 1 o'clock here in the sanctuary. I just want to say how good it is to have John West back. We have missed you. Go now in peace, knowing that God loves you, that God surrounds you. God's grace is always with you, but remembering tick, tick, boom, the time to know is now. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.